GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a goal. There's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Now, welcome along to this week's episode of Camogie Extra. Orla Keeling of RTÉ Sport is with me, as she always is. Waterford manager Gerry Wallace and former Galway player Aisling Connolly are also here. So guys, we have two absolutely cracking semi-final lineups to come this Saturday in Nolan Park. Galway and Tip and Cork against Dublin. We're going to get into them in just a few minutes. Just want to go to you first, Gerry, if you don't mind. How do you reflect on Waterford's season?
Oh, I think it's a mixed bag. I suppose following on from last year, they were late appointing me. When the call came, I had no hesitation. I had kind of made a decision when I turned the age of 60, I was going to stop coaching. And there were still, I think, about 5 months left in that. So when I didn't get the Cork position, I wanted to kind of step up from being involved with the minors in Camogie. I enjoyed, since 2018, being involved at the underage promotion of the game. And when that opportunity presented it, I said I'd go for it. Didn't get it, and wished Ger Manley and everyone involved the very best. And, you know, there's no animosities between me and anyone. I went for it, and that's the way the game works, and didn't get it. Moved on, and I was relaxing away from myself, and I had kind of said to my two daughters, it's time has come. And I got a call there one evening. There was a guy I'd met a few years ago, and he rang, and he said, listen, I want to just run something by you. And, yeah, out of that, then sprung this opportunity, and I said, you know what, I'll have a go off it. Maybe a lot of people might have said last year that, you know, having been beaten in an All-Ireland final by 19 points, it might have been a mad scenario to take on, or who was going to take on, or maybe there were people that were thinking of taking it on but were afraid to take it on because of what had happened in Croke Park. But I had seen their three minor teams over that past 3 years before last year's senior final, and I felt that there was great potential there within Waterford. And being experienced in both the men's game and the ladies' game now, I said I felt I was the right fit for it. And we headed off down in two nights before Christmas, and we got up and running, so we did. And I suppose we achieved a lot this year in that we made Waterford now a difficult team to play against. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating because coming from a culture where I'm used to winning, we're used to winning titles or used to winning big games. I learned a hell of a lot about them this year. And in the sense that if you're going to progress to 2025, I think now I have a handle on how we can get them across the line in the bigger games. We were very competitive against Cork, Kilkenny, Galway in the National League. We got a bonus then in the Munster Championship of 3 great games. Got to the final. And what was very interesting, on the week before we went into the final, I had a little bit of a PKI with the players, and I suddenly realised, oops, like Lorraine Bray was playing in our first Munster final. So here was I, having dealt with players in Cork who were used to being in all sorts of finals, both Munster and senior All-Ireland or All-Ireland finals, even at minor. And we had a situation where we were heading into a Cork match in Turles, and we had all our players were only playing in their first Munster final at senior one. So, yeah, evolved on then, took on the championship. Championship was good for us. Like, I've heard the debates about the championship and disparities between the games and that. But, like, Camogie won't develop unless you have a competition like that where you have teams, you know, in two groups of five. Because we got really meaningful games. And I know that some of the games where the imbalances on the scores were colossal at times and maybe didn't help. But they allowed us opportunities to look at other players. They also allowed us opportunities, you know, to play 5 subs on top of the 15. They allowed us opportunities to evolve and develop as a group of people. There were times during the year when I would have been cross with the girls. There would have been times when I would have been forceful with the girls during the year. There were times when I might have been very kind to them. There were times because I was trying to understand them myself as well and to see what was going to get us a kick from it. We decided on the plus one early on in the year. We had a meeting and I said to the girls, how did you feel coming out of Croke Park? They hadn't spoken much about it. And they just said that they felt a little bit exposed, you know, in their playing last year, and that they felt that they would have been closer maybe in the final had they maybe changed their tact a small bit. And so collectively we sat down, we discussed what we thought we could do and what we could achieve in that. And I suppose just to let you into it, I know that it was a heavy debate at halftime in Croke Park and the day against Galway at halftime to go 15-15. So I'd be a holistic style coach. I went into the dressing room and just had a quick quiet word with a couple of the senior players and just asked them, were they willing to go full on for that second 30? And I had to go to one of the rooms in the dressing rooms there just to have a look at something on the video from the first half and have a chat with my mentors. And when I came back, I just referred back to the players, and the girls had said to me, Joe, can you wait for 15 minutes? And if you want to let go in with 15 to go, we'll go for it. And I said, yeah, we'll do that. So because they still had that discomfort, I suppose, from that chastising they got in the All-Ireland final last year. Like, I mean, I was at that final, and, you know, even I'm an experienced coach. I'd be gracious in my support to all units of the association. Like, when I'm with a team, I'd like to win, but, like, at the same time, I can balance up the negativities and stuff. And I just felt that it must have been horrendous for them to run out in the second half in Croke Park last year. Like, fair play to Amy O'Connor, she created history in that. But at the same time, if you're going to evolve the game through sponsorships, you know, through other aspects of it, you need competitive camogie, like, and that didn't do us good last year.
But, you have such a passion for coaching. Where did it come from? You've a great career, you know, in that role, but it must have been fostered somewhere.
I suppose when I was young, I was like, I don't like talking about myself, to be honest with you. But look, I was good at, when I was young, at hurling and football. Mm-hmm. And I used to love working with the older generation of men that were over our teams. And like at that stage, like we were, where I live here in East Cork, like we had good camogie players as well. So we'd always be interested in camogie and in ladies. You know, the football wasn't strong here then for ladies, but the camogie was. We'd have the Costines and them from Clyne, and there were other women around the parishes here. And we'd always follow them passionately. Like, you know, when they were playing, like we, as young people, we'd always support Cork teams. And I remember I was good at the old athletics. So I took off to America on a scholarship and I came back anyway. It's a long history. And when I came back, John Finton, who's a fellow Middleton man here, John was going to be becoming manager of the local team, the senior team, and we were a good team here now. But he decided he wanted to put a different aspect to the training. So he brought me in as the fitness coach to the local lads here. And sure, they bought into the work straight away from day one. And subsequently then, I was visiting an unusual place, a graveyard in Clyne, one day, and I was standing up on the grave of Christy Ring is buried in Clyne, and I was standing at the grave, on the grave, and my mobile phone rang, like it was back in 2002, and Donald O'Grady was on the phone, and he said, Jerry, you don't know me, you know of me, I suppose, and I said, yeah, and he said, I'd love if you'd come up and have a chat with me. We have a position in Cork that he was putting together a management team, and we'd like you to come on board. And we believe you're a very enthusiastic coach and character, and we'd like you to come and work. And yeah, I did. And so I worked with Cork with 3, 4, 5, and 6. We won in 4 and 5. We lost in 6, going for 3 in a row. And I stayed with Cork then until 2008. Moved on into Limerick. There was a strike in Limerick, so Donald rang again. Because Dolan had resigned in 2004. So he rang again and he said, look, will you come to Limerick with me? He's getting a manager's job and he needs somebody to drive a car, like, and do a bit of coaching. And we headed down to Limerick and we had to bring the two groups together that had been on strike in Limerick and the new group that were there. So while I was there in Limerick, were throwing out this raising the treaty document. It was there. It was where they had done an inventory of their whole in-house, the way they were preparing for games and so forth. And I was given access to the document, and Limerick felt that I was the right fit for the proposal of the academy. But I had given a commitment to go to Antrim for a couple of years. And they waited. So every month on a Friday, when I'd be travelling to Antrim for the weekend, Michael Reardon, the secretary there, used to phone me and just to kill a half an hour on the journey up to Antrim. And he said, the job is always here for you, Jerry. They hadn't appointed anyone for it. So I think it was around 2013. Yeah, I think it was around that day I took on the Limerick Academy for, I think it was 6 years. So I had a hand in the Barry Nashes and the Keane Lynches, all those lads that are now playing with Limerick. Like, so moved on from there then.
Doing something right, Jerry.
Yeah, that was a fabulous journey that time because there was great backing. And a bit like Brian Lowen there now, there was a man, Joe McKenna. And Joe would appease all those fellas in the background that were maybe not happy with the way that I was changing, maybe the style of Camogie or hurling in Limerick. So the Paul Kinnerk was the fit for the seniors later on. But the style we were bringing in the two, I think it was the 14 and 15 All-Ireland minor teams that year with the Tom Morrissey's, and that was moving the ball through the line. So we got Limerick away from hitting the ball deep, long ball. And another aspect of that game, that they were able to win their own ball in the half-forward line on their own and puck out. So we worked very hard. But there was a lot of other aspects to it. It was a fabulous journey. It was brilliant to work there for that time. But then I always wanted to manage my own club here in Middleton. So that opportunity came, I think it was around 2018 or something. And the players came to my house, asked me would I come back to Middleton. And I met with the academy in Limerick and said I was leaving, because you can't double job in these things. I think any coach that's trying to double job, triple job, you know, you'll often have coaches involved into county, but they've got their hand in another pot somewhere else. You can't do that. I'm a one gig man always. I've always just given my time to one process. And I don't believe in extending myself, because you need time to rest. You need time to recover. You need time to re-educate yourself. You need time to meet people, discuss things, and you need time to then be able to work with the group that you're working with and learn more about them. But I think if you're going off in all different directions every week, training here, training there, your enthusiasm and everything diminishes, and you also bring a lot of baggage to the training sessions, which I find with a lot of coaches, they can't park their own private issues, or they can't park their own stuff outside, and that's taken out on players, or players are not treated right. Like, and I just think you have to try and stimulate, encourage, have really good positive training sessions, engaging training sessions, and you've got to push athletes, because like the old Carpenter song, you know, players only love you when you play, you know, so you have to work them out that way. I moved on then, and I was finished with Middleton with 2 years done, and I was kind of happy to step away. And then I got a call one evening to know would I be interested in a position in Cork. And I asked what it was, and someone said, look, the minors in Cork, the Cork minor Camogie needs a manager, and we think you're the fit for it. And I remember we went up, I said I'd go up and have a look at this. We went up to the CIT in Cork, and we trained on this all-weather pitch up there, and the two senior officers on the board, Mary McSweeney and Marion McCarthy. Marion has been involved a hell of a long time from the bars with Cork Camogie. The two girls, I met them in the Bishopstown bar after training. So I said to them, I'd like to have a cup of tea and an old sandwich. And, you know, that was heavy hitting now for them to have that. So I met them, and I remember I said to both of them, I'll bring the minor team to the All-Ireland final of 2018, but we won't win it, or we might win it. And they looked at me, and Marion was just putting the tea into her mouth, and she said, well, that cheeky, arrogant young fella, you know, to think that he's doing that. And what did we do that year? We went down into the All-Ireland final in 2018, and we played Galway, and it was a good Galway team we came up against. And I'll always remember, we stopped in Turles at the racetrack, and we went in for a walk. And when we came out, we headed on to Nina, and there was a Garda escort, or there was a Garda checkpoint between Turles and Nina, and there was a queue of traffic there and they were letting nothing through. And to this day, I believe it was Galway had set up that Garda checkpoint, because the significance of that Garda checkpoint was when we arrived in Nina, I didn't actually know where the ground was. So the bus driver was saying to me, "Jerry, do you know where we're going?" And I said, "We'll go into the town and we'll surely find it." And we went in, but Nina's a tight, narrow streets. But we went up the wrong street and we got stuck. And at this stage, Mary McCarthy was phoning me. Mary McSweeney was phoning me. And they were saying, "Jerry, where are you?" Because like the All-Ireland final was due to start. I don't know, was it? There was a second game that day. Was due to start around, say, 3 o'clock or 3:30. And Galway were inside ready to go. And they were out on the second field in Nina warming up. And I just said to the girls, "I think the girls, you better start togging off in the bus. Get yourselves prepared, you know, get your socks on and boots on." And because we had our gear in the bus and stuff from the trip from Thurles. And holy, we only arrived, I'll never forget this, we only arrived at the venue with a half an hour to spare. And I suppose my experience before that kept things calm. And we were able to keep the whole situation calm. And the biggest problem we have with ye lady folks and is it's not that easy to go to the bathroom. It's easier as a man to go to the bathroom. It's not that easy thing for whom. So we had to source a whole load of different bathrooms for everyone, because if you have 15, 16 players with nervous energy, and that took a little bit of time. And I think for that All-Ireland final, we got maybe a 10-minute warm-up. And the rest was history. We won. And then I had 6 fabulous years with Cork after that at minor, between the Munsters and the All-Irelands. Fabulous, but fabulous people along the way from the other counties. Got to know a lot of the Camogie people. And then used to go when, like the minor championship suited my lifestyle as well, because it started in the first week of February or the second week of February. And you were always finished on the first weekend of May. So then you knew you had your summer to yourself. So that suited my lifestyle habits, and that I didn't want to take any other coaching duties on anywhere else. Gave me a chance to go on holidays, because I had been involved in the men's game. So the men's game was all year round. And this was a great opportunity to put something back into the game and back at this level. And then, as I said, we had a successful time. COVID was brilliant. I had a great challenge with the Camogie Association in COVID over them cancelling the championship. I still to this day believe that championship should have taken place in the end of the summer when COVID lifted. Because there was a whole generation of young women that didn't get to play, that were leaving minor, that didn't get to play in an All-Ireland championship. They could have had maybe held it over a weekend. So like Sinead McNulty, you know, and myself, you know, across swords on that. And but as a GA person, and because the way the GA is set up and because of the constitution of the GA, you know, I was well within my right as a member of the association to take on that challenge, like, and that's what I did. But coaching, love coaching.
Well, it sounds like it, Jerry. Absolutely. Yeah, and it sounds like Camogie has its hooks in you as well, which is great, because the more people we have involved, the better. It's a game that's growing, and I love seeing all the little kids taking it up. But it's nice to see as well, Aisling, that there's a couple of teams that we're not usually associated with being at the top table. Well, not of late anyway, the likes of Tip and Dublin. How good is it to see change in the game?
So good, Marie, and so needed. I think, you know, the last couple of years between Cork, Kilkenny and Galway, if you're not really from those counties, you don't really get excited about the All-Ireland finals and semi-finals. Whereas last year with Waterford in the All-Ireland final, and, you know, Jerry rightly pointed out that they got well bet. But in the lead up to it, it was brilliant to have a new team in the All-Ireland final. And last year I was at the All-Ireland semi-final when they played Tip in Nolan Park, and oh my god, there's one thing you have to say about the Waterford Camogie public. They are one of the best supporters when it comes to following the Camogie. I think that's why they bet Tip actually last year in the semi-final, is because, you know, that we always hear this, the extra player in the stand. That was certainly the case anyway when I was at that match. And I was even more conscious of it because I had a 3-week-old on my chest, and I was like, geez, it's very, very loud. I didn't expect it to be this loud at a Camogie game. But yeah, that rings true. And just before we get on to the seniors as well, like a shout out, as we were talking off air about Limerick Camogies, winning the under 16 All Ireland last week in an epic game in Nolan Park to beat Galway by a point. And you know, that's really good for the county of Limerick Camogie. So well done. And it was great to see, I guess, a new winner, although commiserations to my home county in Galway. And yeah, this weekend, so we have Dublin against Cork. And like, oh my God, fair play to Dublin. They, you know, bet one of the kingpins a couple of weeks ago in Kilkenny. Had a massive win, so it's brilliant for Camogie to make that kind of jump and that milestone. It's their first All-Ireland semi-final since 2017, and I think before that it's only their second in about 20 years. So brilliant for Camogie. And then in the second semi-final on Saturday, you have Galway taking on Tip. So Tip again, you know, brilliant to see them in the semi-final. Have been making lots of progress the last couple of years. Can't seem to get over the semi-final stage. I think the last time they were in a final was 2003, if I'm right. So it's but Tip are very, very good, very, very strong, and I think it's going to be a real cracking game between Tipperary and Galway. Very hard to call it. You know, you have the experience of Galway, you know, having been in All-Ireland finals and All-Ireland semi-finals, used to that pressure and what that brings, and Tipperary less so. But yeah, no, for the game, Marie, you know, you're talking about like bums on seats and making sure attendance and trying to promote the game. And it is really important that you have other teams outside of Cork, Galway and Kilkenny, especially in the last couple of years. It's just since Wexford, since they won the three in a row in 2010, 11, 12. Since 2012, it's just been Cork, Kilkenny or Galway. So it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant that there's new kids on the block contending and challenging for the All-Ireland final.
Since you're wearing the maroon jumper, let's get stuck into Galway and Tipperary. Galway have been so fascinating this year, Aisling. It just feels like they haven't been consistent at all. But at the same time, they're in an All-Ireland semi-final. So one man's consistency is another man's timing, maybe.
Yeah, and that's the general narrative at home in terms of about Galway. Like, they just seem to be, it's not clicking for them, and geez, they'll be up against Tip. And, you know, so you're right in saying that, Marie. But like, you know, you see Clare on Sunday, like, you know, they lost twice in the season, and they didn't necessarily have a great game against Kilkenny, only in the second half. So it might be all about timing. And I guess Cahill is, Murray, the manager, is quite experienced there now. He probably knows that some players might have needed time off in the league or the early stages and kind of played to that. They just did enough to kind of get over Waterford in the quarterfinal. And in the group stages, then they, like, their first game against Dublin in Parnell Park, like, they only, I think it was won by 3 points, and it was a tight game. So yeah, they certainly, I wouldn't say there's a confidence in Galway that we're going to win on Saturday. It's very much, we need to kind of get it right. We need to, the girls need to step up now, because we haven't seen that consistency this year throughout. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, I guess things to point out, you know, we've lost a couple of players from last year, like Shauna Healy, the captain, cornerback, had a baby, so she's stepped out, or she's away at the moment. And Siobhan McGrath, I think, is one of the best, you know, danger forwards in the country, and she took time out, and there's no drama behind what happened. It's simply she wants to go off and travel. She plays her club hurling with Sarsfields. They're very successful. They won three All-Irelands at a club level, you know, so she was on, you know, playing colleges, playing very successful club and playing with Galway. So she just wants to go traveling, and after the league win against, lost against Tip, she took time out. But she's a real threat, real danger. Every time she gets the ball, in previous years, she was going to do something with it, or the crowd would kind of be on the edge of their seat. So she certainly is a loss. But on the other side of it, you have Niamh Mallon, who came down from Down, transferred to Sarsfields club in Galway, and is playing with Galway now. And her first game actually was against Tip in this league, in the league final this year that they lost. But she's a very exciting player to watch, you know, really, really skillful, really athletic. So it'll be interesting to see how she performs now on this big occasion with Galway. So yeah, it's very hard to call. And Galway, as to your question, you're right. They haven't been consistent. They have been a bit shaky, and they certainly can't be like that against Tipperary on Saturday.
It feels, Orla, they don't really have a settled team either. There were so many changes last time out that, like, I'm not a manager, and I'm sure you might be able to comment on this as well, but it just feels like at this stage of the season that there would be a little bit more consistency in the selection as well.
Yeah, I spoke to Cathal after the game. He did mention that, the level of inconsistency, and kind of, I suppose, from the week previous, they didn't have time to think about it, and he made five late changes, and he said that's not his style, but just had to be done from that previous fixture. So, yeah, they haven't found that level of consistency yet. 3 weeks, I don't know if that's enough time to do that. I think, like, just to mention Niamh Mallon, she's actually a big week ahead. She's obviously playing on Saturday, and then she's in Croke Park Sunday. She's working as a nutritionist with the Galway senior footballers, so she'll be there on All-Ireland final day. But I thought Aoife Donoghue was excellent as well. Spoke to her as well after the game, and she said she targeted that fixture. So I think there's probably more planning and structure behind Galway than maybe we see in kind of the general public, as I think, Aisling, you mentioned Cathal's experience. So it kind of depends on how they've managed the last couple of weeks, and I think they're experienced enough from a managerial point of view. But as you say, like, you know, to have so little consistency coming into an Ireland semi-final is a big worry for them. So I think it's about how they manage and how they've managed the last couple of weeks, really.
And I was talking to Niamh Kilkenny below in Nolan Park last week at the under-16 game, and I was asking her how they were going, and she said no injuries and going well, like, you know. So that's great that there's no injuries. You know, it's awful to see a team, and Gerry, I know Waterford this year had their share of injuries, which is unfortunate to see, but from a Galway standpoint, there doesn't seem to be they seem to have a full outfit. So, you know, hopefully in the last weeks they've, you know, got a bit of consistency, played a few panel matches, and they'll be raring to go. And yeah, Aoife Donoghue, I 100% agree with you, Orla. She was player of the match in the last 10 quarterfinal, got an unbelievable goal, and she is just kind of Tony Kelly-esque, Shane O'Donnell-esque. Everything, she gets the ball, she's just so fast, she's just so talented. So but we're very reliant on her. So, like, Orla McGrath, Ailish O'Reilly, you know, they need to kind of step up as well and have big games.
The one thing I'll say as well about that semi-final, I think Brian brought it up, and I did agree with him at the time. We didn't see Niamh Mallon's influence maybe as we would have seen. I think partially down to your setup, Gerry, but also the calls probably didn't go her way in the day. So as you say, they are relying on Aoife, but I think Niamh will play an influence, will have an influence this weekend, obviously.
Gerry, how do you think Galway are fixed?
I think if you were to go back, say, if you go back to the middle of the league, of the championship part of the league, if we went back to the Kilkenny game, our game with Kilkenny, and after that game, I would have said to you girls, I was the happiest manager in Ireland, right? We got a draw and we had Derry and Antrim to come. So I said, we're in a great position here, not because of the results, but because of our in-house housekeeping. Like, at that stage, I was looking at, we had suddenly found a full forward in Mairead O'Brien, who was getting goals. We had Beth Carton at the top of her game again. Niamh Rocket was playing fabulous camogie. We had a great way of working the one plus out of the back. And the key to that was going to be Vicky Faulkner. And we had minded Vicky. We had her ready. We brought her to Antrim. We gave her the half hour in Antrim. And it's amazing in the space of a week how in this modern game, your whole plan goes out the gap. Because so we went up to Antrim, played Antrim. Vicky was absolutely outstanding. Going to be playing as listed as 15 against Galway. Was going to be playing in that plus one role. Now giving me the opportunity to have someone coming from plus one into the overlap for attacking. And you've got, it's just the way it works at this intercounty. On the Monday night, she went to the gym to do a small bit of maintenance work. And tweaked the quad. So it wasn't the injury from Croke Park the year before. It was another injury that came into the system. Next thing, we had the Mairead O'Brien issue. And then, I suppose, on the day going into the match, and I suppose people are reading a lot into Cathal Murray's experience and not selecting his team, but there was a hell of a lot of gamesmanship going on between him and me. And I selected a team. I remember the people from RTE were asking me before the game, Gerry, what is the starting 15? My poor daughter Megan, was who works with us in the management team, was coming in and out to me. She says, will you give them the starting 15? I said, you get the Galway one first, and I give them the Waterford one. And so there was a big fixture, and an awful lot, say, you know, on it on that day for both counties. Galway were coming out of Cork having you know, having had little time to fix what had happened down there the week before. Because if you watch that match, I watched that match on that evening, and for 20 minutes of that game, Galway were well able for Cork. And all of a sudden, Galway could not win the puck out, their own puck out. It was very similar to Cork last weekend in the men's match against Clare. They rushed into a 7-point lead after 20 minutes. Clare got the grips with the Cork men's game and stopped them from scoring. And what I felt that day was Cork got the grips with Galway, who were well in the contest, and he still hadn't thrown in players that he was planning on throwing in, Cahill was throwing in. They were in the contest, and all of a sudden, Laura Hayes and a few others started to dominate around that middle three quarters, and Cork slipped away. So I wouldn't have said there was major panic in Galway. I would have thought that there was disappointment, because you don't want to lose against one of the big counties like that. But I felt that they were going to be a dangerous team coming to Croke Park against ourselves. And the one thing I found with Waterford this year was we were close to all the main teams, but we weren't able to get over the line. Wexford were the same, because we had played Wexford in a few challenge games. They were doing the same. They were very competitive. But when it came to the big teams, they were not able to get over the line. I go back to the Leinster final, I think. I went to see that game up above in Freshford. I think it was in Freshford. And like, it's the same with Dublin. I hope Dublin can reciprocate the Kilkenny game of the All-Ireland quarter final. Because when the teams that are now coming in, there's Dublin, Waterford, Wexford have now arrived to take away from the Kilkenny, Galway and Cork scenarios. So you now have a good competitive group of teams now, so you have for the All-Ireland series. But I think this weekend, like, it'll be interesting to see when the teams are named. I think advantage to Galway at the moment in relation to this fixture because of the 5-6 week layoffs against Tipperary. Very, very hard to have won in your group stage and wait 5 weeks then to play an All-Ireland semi-final. I remember when we were involved with the men's game back in the days with Cork, four, five with the men's game. If you won the Munster final, you went straight to an All-Ireland semi-final, but there were 7 weeks and you were looking to see how you were going to fill that 7 weeks. And small things can happen within the group. You can upset someone in the group and it can lead to a small bit of distraction, or you're trying to get meaningful games within the group. So you have to go into the men's game at underage, find a couple of men's teams to play. Then you have to mind what's happening in those games, because those games can become a bit too enthusiastic and you might be playing an under 17 team or an under 18 team, and someone might get a broken wrist, like Lorraine Bray got. Like Lorraine, we never knew in Kilkenny that Lorraine had fractured her hand the day afterwards. She played the whole game with a fractured hand, and that came back in the game against Galway. Not alone the leg injury, but that came back into play. So like, they're all small tweaks. So I think the 5 week or the 6 week gap now that has been there has been a challenge to both Tipperary and Cork. Nolan Park is a marvellous venue for an All-Ireland semi-final. I think it's brilliant. Like, I loved taking the Cork Miners to play there in the last 2 years in the All-Ireland final.
As long as it doesn't rain like last year. Remember last year, it was down.
Yeah, I remember watching Galway warming up before they played Cork, and I kept saying to myself, if I was in charge of Galway, I think I'd have taken them back into the dressing room. Because it was so wet, I said to myself, you can't play in that. Like, the girls' skirts, the girls' jerseys were glued to them. Like, and I just said, that warm-up isn't a warm-up. That's like a battle of the environment. And I just said, yeah, see, at the end of the day, like, we all, I suppose, my philosophy in coaching is, it's not about who has the best warm-up. It's not about who has the best, looks the best. It's about the match. The match is the only thing that counts. If you have a racehorse, if you can get the racehorse to the event and get them to perform, you have a great, great chance. Like, and I think the worrying thing I'd have for Galway is I don't think they've been scoring enough this year in the National League. Against, like, the day we played them in Galway in the league, it was a battle. It went, I don't know where Aaron Hogg, or I think it was Aaron, the clear ref, I don't know where he got the 7 minutes of overtime. He got five, but he got an extra three, which gave Galway, he got you to win that day. Like, cost me getting to the National League final. I think they're going to have to get more to score. I felt that they got a great bounce off of the subs coming in against us in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. I thought he made a good move at half-time, pushing his midfielder up, you know, one of the best players, I think, in the EFA. Donoghue, he pushed her up into full forward, and he targeted my football women because he knew that I was playing Lana McNulty as the plus one, and Clodagh Carroll. And Clodagh was, and them had both played for the game the day before. And I felt it was a really good move, a good experience move out of Cal. I remember discussing it going in at halftime with my management, but I just felt that we had the right players in the right positions. And I felt, yeah, that when Aoife got our goal, if you watched it again, both of the players from Waterford were static. They were in that moment where that little bit of fatigue and that the mindset was probably saying, oh, Jesus, we're in this tough part of the game. And it was a big moment in the game. Like, but I think that tipped in, like, tip this year, like, Waterford have, I actually said at the start of the year, after being the first section of the, I said, you know what I'd love to see for the All-Ireland final? I said, I'd love to see Tip and Waterford. No disrespect to anyone else, because of actually what you said there about supporters. I think that the Camogie Association would have got 50,000 plus if you had both those counties in the All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
There's something about the supporters. They're infectious. Mm. Like, when we played in Golden in the Munster Championship, it was something out of the days gone by. Like, the crowd, the stadium, that stand there, the pitch, the environment was packed. It was some game of Camogie, so it was. And then, like, we got over them that day. Then we had to go to the Rag for the first round, and it was exceptional again. But this group of Tip players at the moment are driven. And you must remember they have the team in the intermediate final as well. I think, isn't it? They are in the semi-final this weekend. So, like, there's about 60 Camogie players there in Tipperary at this moment in time, vying for to keep that process going there. But Galway and Tip, Liz Dimsey is refereeing it. Liz is no nonsense. You know, I actually looked for Liz for the Munster final against Cork this year. I asked the county secretary in Waterford to request Liz Dimsey. I think Liz should have been the referee for it, and that's no disrespect to any of the men and the men that did referee it. I just feel that Liz represents Camogie really well, and she's got no nonsense. You can talk to her during the match if you need to. The lines of communication are always open once you're not trying to be smart with her. And I think she's got a good rapport with the players, you know, from both sides. So I think she'll lend herself to this fixture this year. And I suppose Galway will have memories of her from last year, because she was the ref, or she was on the sideline for the Galway-Waterford game. And there was a little contentious sideline ball near the end of that game that she gave to Waterford, which I think to this day was a Galway ball. So we'll see what will happen on Saturday, like, you know.
I was going to say, the Tip team, it feels like they've got a really good balance now.
Yeah, and I was just about to say, Marie, I'm really curious to see what they do with Karen Kennedy, their captain, and Cort Devan. So they're two players that I can't wait to see. And one, I guess, Karen Kennedy, amazing player. You know, there now a couple of years, you know, always delivers, scored 1-3 against Galway in the league final that they won. She's traditionally centre-back, but they've used her up front. And it'll be interesting to see. And I believe, like, throughout this year, she has no dominant position. You know, she can be back some days, she can be forward some days. So it'll be interesting to see how they deploy her. And then you have Cort Devan, you know, who needs no introduction, one of the greatest Camogie players. And, you know, didn't come back to, like, I think it was about 2 weeks after the league, so missed the league this year due to getting married and just taking a break. And, you know, I think she came on against G in the first round, Jerry, against Waterford, and had an impact, scored a point, had a few possessions, and since then hasn't really featured in team. So now, you know, to your point, they've had a few weeks off, Jerry, you were saying, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how she cemented down a slot in those couple of weeks in the management. Are they going to do a kind of Ryan Taylor debate on it, Marie, in the lead up? Are they going to wait and kind of inject a burst of energy, like she'd get some roar and some momentum for the team, you know, if she came on? But she's such a good player and such a danger woman that it's hard to leave her off. You know, if she was in full forward, she is some threat and some, you know, so I'm really curious. Sorry, Jerry, well, I'll just say,
You're fine. I suppose on selecting teams, my philosophy always would have been, and I suppose it's the same running through Galway Tip, Like, you will balance up your starting 15 sometimes, which will be different, given insight to the, say, the supporters now of the game, the thinking from a management perspective. You look at your players and your peripheral players, and you'll always kind of say, okay, will that player be better off starting, or will that player give you an impetus if they come in, or a kick? So, like, a good management team will always try and balance that up, and you will have a quiet word with a player before the match to say, look, you're going for, it's a bit like the rugby now, so I suppose I did it with Waterford. So you'll be kind of mentioning to a player, you're going for 40 minutes, or you're going for 25 minutes today, and this other player's coming in, and you've already told the other player, you're coming in at this time, so be ready to go and be ready to rock and roll. That day in the rag in the first round, like, we had that game won, and I think if I had my time back, I would have pulled back two. Near the very the last few minutes of that game, we were 3 points up, and suddenly Cott Devine came on the field, and every ball that was being played out of the Tipperary defence was an old traditional style ball. It was being played out into the corner where Cott was, and like, she just took us to the cleaners. But we had a player on the yellow card. We were trying to change Keely Corbett off of her, and because of the restrictions nowadays, you can't. It's so hard to get your information to the players. We were trying to get it from one player to get it across the other side to get Keely off of her and get someone else in on her that wasn't on a yellow card, and she had a massive influence. So I think both Dennis Kelly and Cathal Murray at the moment are trying to weigh up. We need energy, we need drive, we need really, really on the top of their game players to start the game. No ground can be given on both sets of players. But then the introduction of subs, like, will be key. Like, the Rabbits came in and the game against us, we were on our last legs. They interjected fierce pace that day for Galway. And, you know, they pulled away in the last few minutes of the game. So, like, these type of things will factor into this game as well on Saturday.
Orla, the other game is probably not as, maybe it's not as tight a call, really, because there is an expectation that it's Cork's for the taking. They're the team that have been on fire this year. They just seem to be going from strength to strength all of the time. Just for Dublin, though, coming into a game like this, you've tipped them. You've tipped them all the time. What about this time?
You've set me up for failure, I think, with that lead in. I love the way you're going to me first. Look, look, obviously I tipped them the last day. I was mulling over this yesterday, knowing today was coming up. Look, what a game for Dublin. I listened to an interview this morning with Bill McCormack. They know what's to come. They know this is huge. Just to say, every championship so far, football, hurling, ladies football, the big team have been knocked out. Can it be done on Saturday? I don't know. But look, it's a mammoth task. But can they do it? I don't know. It's really up to the way they go at it in terms of their mentality and how they set up. Obviously, they only scored, 4 points, none from play a couple of weeks ago. They'll be aware of that. I read a thing a year ago, I think Tom Parsons did an article, and he said he used to split the All-Ireland finals into 5 minutes. And he just win your 5 minute interval. And can Dublin do that? Can they just split the game up into something? Because at the moment, if you're looking at that 16 minutes, it's a mammoth task. Can they split it into intervals, or we just win that 5 minutes? And it's all about, you know, they will make mistakes. They're human. Corker makes mistakes, but it's all about how they react. But Brian mentioned it. Like, for me, Aisling O'Neill needs to be on the pitch for the whole game. I was talking to her after. She's a bit of a hamstring injury. That she's 3 week break now coming into this weekend. Agree with Gemma O'Connor saying last week about Ash Maher being more mobile. She needs to be more mobile, but the ball she was delivering in, that there needs to be somebody there. I think Sinead Wild was playing. Jerry already mentioned someone had a broken hand. She was playing with a broken hand. So, yeah. Look, I think, as I said before, if they had any belief the last day, they need more of it today. But I'd love to see Dublin win. It'd be huge for the county. It'd be huge for that group of players. But to me, Cork are the best team in the country. I think it's going to be a huge task. But not to say it's impossible, but it's going to be a huge, huge task if they do get over the line.
Gary, Cork have some threats, don't they?
Look, Cork are like the Limerick, the Limerick men's team for the last number of years. I think this Cork group are so focused. All those minors that were under our tutelage have all come and graduated in. I think Ger Manley is a very good hurling man. So he is. He was with Cork minor teams in the men's game. And I think he's got a no nonsense approach as well. He won't make excuses ever in a game. He'll try and find out afterwards why, or he'll take it apart and see how they can improve. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, it's like us when we played them in the National League, and I hoped up, and when we played them in the Munster final, I kept saying to our girls, we'd get to halftime first and still be in the game. And what's very noticeable this year with Cork is like that they're not starting well. If you don't allow them start, you go to about 15 minutes. And then like this year, we had an old code word called reset. Like, so after 15 minutes, reset was spread around the team. And if we could stop the game, we'd stop the game, because we knew then that if we were meeting the likes of Cork, we needed to reset. And then the girls knew that we needed to finish out the half time. So like, I would be hopeful. I think Dublin play, like I like Dublin's setup. I think they play with the three at the full back line. I think they played in with their half back line, but they played two back. They played two back on both sides. So that hopefully will cut down the space and allow that ball being shifted into the inside line of Cork, which is dynamite. Amy O'Connor, the girl of the Mackies, and like the girl of the Catalans. Like, if they get ball where they have space in front of them, they're lethal. But if that space is closed down and the game is kept tight, we could have a very close contest in the first half. Then Dublin will have to decide if they're going to open up and go for it. But Dublin are good from watching them against Kilkenny. I tried to get a couple of challenge games with them this year, and we could never get together and tango. Because I liked the way that Dublin were, I was watching them and the way they were coming along in the league and so forth. And I liked the coaching and the people that are involved with them. And I think they were making good progress. We played Wexford, as I said. So like, I just think that Dublin have an advantage if they can come to terms with the occasion, if they can keep it tight and compact early on, if they can keep Cork just making the scores on the points. Like in Camogie, you could be 6 points up, and all of a sudden you get a goal, as we saw with Waterford last year in the Super, and you're back in the game. And a team, and in the Camogie game, the women get nervous. And when a team starts getting a run on it, you must take those opportunities. But go back to the Galway game with ourselves and Waterford this year. When we got the goal, we did a full court press on Galway on the next puck out. So like, we won the next puck out. Lorraine won it. She kicked it forward to Niamh Rocket, and Niamh took the shot on, and the shot didn't come up. But if we had gotten that, the game was level. So that would have been a big turnaround right in it at the right moment of the game. So I'm just hoping that Dublin don't do a Waterford on it last year, and that they're ready for it. I think the men involved will be ready to have them ready for it. It's just the girls themselves. They've got some wonderful Camogie players. Like Aisling Maher is a fabulous player. Like, you know, God, she's able to transition, like I was saying about Vicky Faulkner, from defence to offence very quickly. And she can be huge. But I think the two girls that get, the two Gannons, get no credit at all. I've seen them with DCU, and I just think they're two of the best Camogues I've seen. They're tough as nails. They understand the game, and they can be in the right place at the right time as well to contribute and influence the game. So, like, there's a lot to play for. I think that Dublin will have to, and I'm giving this as a bit of advice, they have to they have to stop Laura Hayes. Not Laura Tracy. Laura Hayes is the kickstart to Cork's attacks. Like, if I had my choice back in the Munster final this year, I suppose Laura got man of the match, player of the match. Like, I kept saying to Mick, because Laura was my first centre-back with the Cork Miners, and I kept saying to Mick, she's going to beat us, because when Laura gets that ball, she can come from her own 21 all the way up to the other side of the field and score. And that brings huge energy into the Cork team, then so it does. So Cork could be in a battle, but if Laura gets one of them out there at left half-back on Sunday, takes off, puts it over the bar in Nolan Park, she did it last year in the semi-final against Galway, like, that's what she loves, and that's what that gives Cork huge energy.
I'd say the same about Saoirse McCarthy, exactly what you're saying about Laura Hayes. I'd say the same about Saoirse McCarthy as well.
Yeah, I noticed this year that she's positioned more in the centre of the field. I think she was, when she was on the other side, say playing right half back, in the they were two dangerous women. Park is a tight, compact venue. It's not like Croke Park, so like, that's why I think that Dublin, you know, if you'd have said when the draw was made, I said I'd love to play Cork in Nolan Park. I think like, it's a compact venue, it's a real hurling venue, and I think like Dublin have a great opportunity here if they can cope with the occasion and cope with the expectations that are on them from within their own communities above in Dublin. We stopped off in Nathenia before the quarterfinal. We bedded ourselves in there that morning. We got great support from the Ryans in there and the families in there. and they had teas and coffees and sandwiches and all for the team and for the mentors and for the supporters that came over. And like just listening to them, the passion in Dublin for the Camogie is fabulous. Like, so we're just hoping that they can kick on now and, you know, if not win it, like be really competitive, because then it sets it up for the final, because the other game is the main game of the weekend. You know, it's the two traditions coming against each other, Tip and Galway. Then the league final this year was fabulous match, like, and that only came down like to a missed score at the end from being a draw, I think, wasn't it? Or I think you know, you had a free missed at the very end to level the match. Yeah, so yeah. Like, there's nothing in that game, but this game for the purpose of, say, the promotion of the game, the promotion of the day that's going to be in it, I'd be hoping that Dublin can really keep Cork and put them to the pin of their collar, like, you know.
Actually, my worry is for Dublin that they've pushed a lot of their really good ball players back. So where are they going to get their scores from?
Well, I think Orla that said it, or that, you know, Aisling O'Neill is crucial, that she starts. I think Gabby Couch in particular, Jerry mentioned those two girls. I think Gabby in particular and Niamh Gannon are going to be crucial to get scores on the board. And then you've Aisling Maher launching from behind, from the backs. But yeah, it's almost like you'd love it for the game of Camogie. And, you know, if Dublin got to the All-Ireland final, you would have that almost 50,000 people in Croke Park.
Yeah.
And they bring such aggression. They bring such aggression and they show that against, you know, their win in the quarterfinal. So if they can bring that aggression and just be really tight on Mark and Cork, but also like, you know, it's all about Cork. And Orla, I think I listened to that Bill McCormack interview as well, and he was making the point that, you know, it's not about, we're not here to stop kind of Cork's game plan. We're more trying to inflict our game plan and stick to that and stick to the systems and the coaching that they have. So yeah, I think it's you know, I think that advice is good, Jerry, in terms of if you break it down by 15 minutes and if they're, you know, if they're in at a half time, you know, then they're, you know, in it with a great shot to keep it tight. But like, I just can't see, like, Cork at the form team, as Orla said, there's just so much class, like, in every corner, every position, and their subs as well. So it's very hard to see how they'll come in within 5 points of Cork. But I just hope that it isn't a one-sided game. And I hope that, because the year so far has been progress for Dublin. So they can look back and be like, you know, we've progressed from last year. We've, you know, the underage and the youth are looking up at those amazing role models and athletes, and it'll spur them on for next year. But if they were to come in with a couple, if they were to come within a couple of scores of Cork, it would be brilliant. And they have a nice Wexford contingent in the Dublin camp as well. You know, they're very well coached. They've, you know, Mags Darcy, a former Wexford, brilliant Camogie player, all-star in goals, and Jerry McQuaid. And then they've a brilliant coach, you know, hurling and Camogie, Mickey McCulloch, I think.
McCulloch.
Yeah. McCulloch. Yeah. So they're well coached, they'll be well drilled, you know, all those people are, you know, Mags would bring amazing experience from a Camogie point of view, being in All-Ireland finals and all, you know, in her heyday. So she'll be able to, you know, mentor the girls in terms of what to expect, how they are feeling, it's okay to feel like that, how to tackle that. So, you know, they're not going to flop, you know, they're going to show up, they're going to be competitive, and they're going to give it their all. But I just think Cork are going to be, they're just too slick, you know, from 1 to 20, you could say, and they'll win.
So for you, Aisling, it is Cork and, am I right in saying Galway?
Oh, it's Cork and
a draw.
Oh, it's, yeah. Yeah, like, know my audience. It's Cork, and I'm very fearful of Tip, to be honest, Marie. And I all, you know, very, very fearful. But I'm just hoping that Galway will come up trumps when it's needed. They'll come up trumps when needed, and yeah, I'll go with Galway. But you know, I'm very, very fearful of Tip, and I think it's going to be an absolute brilliant game, and Galway have to start strong, and they have to you know, they have to really bring it and they have to be firing on, you know, it's not like Aoife Donoghue is going to be man-marked. They probably might have, you know, a second person helping her out. So the likes of, you know, Ailish O'Reilly, you know, Niamh McPeake, Niamh Mallon really have to step up and contribute. So yeah, I'll tip with my Galway hat, I'll slightly tip them, but it's going to be a brilliant, brilliant competitive game.
So, Orla, who do you think will be in the All-Ireland
Camogie
final?
Yeah, I'll go to Galway tip first. I'd probably back tip on this, just the momentum they have. It's just about managing how they've managed the last couple of weeks. And in terms of, we mentioned Galway, if they can time it properly, I think this could be the game of the weekend as well. I think, you know, everyone has kind of made very valid points on it. So I think I'm just going to back tip. In terms of Dublin Cork, I think, Jerry, you made a great point. If they can get an early goal, that'd be huge for them just to get the momentum. I think I've mentioned kind of all the points already, but there's three Gannons, Ash, Claire and Niamh. They'll all have a big influence on the day. But look, I'm going to back Cork on this one. I'm sure I'll get a few messages after this, but look, Dublin are their exceptional side. People are crediting the management, but the mentality of those players, their leadership, what they can do, and they will know about that. You know, I kind of mentioned, you know, they felt they left the Kilkenny game behind, they felt they left that Cork game behind, didn't perform, so they'll be out with a vengeance. But to me, it's going to be a Cork win. But if I really hope just Dublin can perform, and if they can, I'd be absolutely delighted for them on the day.
Jerry?
I'll talk to Cork Dublin game first. I think Cork have been not tested this year yet. I think that they've risen to all sorts of challenges as the year has developed. I think in the Munster final, I remember turning to my colleague Mike Boland. We were right in the game and they offloaded three subs, Clodagh Finn, I'm just trying to remember, Clodagh, Ciara Sullivan. And I remember they were minors and they came on and they, so for all our good defensive work and keeping the game nice and tight and compact, we had only one player doing our scoring that day, and Niamh Rocket and Boat Bish. And I kept saying to Mike, we ain't got enough, and look what Cork have. Cork have an army coming on here like to score. So Cork will be nervous. They haven't played in 6 weeks. Dublin are showing good momentum, and I hope that they can cope with the experience of the day and that they can be very, very competitive. But I would say that Cork are on a mission, that Cork are, you know, well coached. And that they're going to be, they'll win, they'll come out on it. So I'm just hoping that the game is, from a Camogie perspective, that it'll be some good spectacle. I hope it'll be a tough game, but I'm going with Cork on that. In relation to the Galway Tip game, it looks to me like Tip are on a mission from the start of the year. And like, we had played them in minor over the years, and I kept saying to my colleagues as well, how good are Tip are as good as what they are now? But they must be after doing some serious work down there in the last 2 years. And they're on a mission, but I think that expectation of the mission might mislead them a small bit, because I think they've been missing now for 6 weeks. So either Cork or Tip are going to be flat at the start. One of those two teams are going to be flat because of that 6 week break. They're not going to be humming from the word go. And then you can get frustrated, and management can get frustrated with the players. And a composed team then can become very ordinary looking. So I reckon Kyle Murray has got all the ammunition that he wants back in now. Yes, he's missing one of the McGraths, but I think he learned from us that if Niamh Mallon is well marked, she becomes insignificant in the game. So I think he'll try and give her a different type of a role, maybe loosen up her play a bit more for her. So Galway are in a right good position right now. They've got experience. They've been there for the last number of years, winning the All-Ireland, winning the National Leagues. They were beaten this year by Tipperary. They have massive motivation to play Tip now, having lost the National League this year. So I think myself that the time is right now for Galway, and we're going to see a traditional final, Cork and Galway.
Very good. That's interesting. I was expecting a tip there, but not to be. Jerry, Aisling, Orla, as always, thank you so much. And thanks everybody as well for listening and watching. You can find us on the RTÉ Sport YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back next week reviewing the All-Ireland Camogie semi-finals. Semi-finals. Thanks, guys.
GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a goal. There's the whistle. It's over. It's a
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it, it's over the bar.